Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a sports edition live of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the MVP himself. God damn, I'm so good. I am the Hot Rock. And on the phone line, I have the man who demanded for me to pay him $500 million to do the show with me, which he is nuts, knowing that I could only afford 500 pennies to pay him to do this show, even though we're not making no money from this.
But then he recognizes that I am the real franchise of this show. Sean Black in the building once again.
You damn wish I'd give a franchise tag on your services. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much going on in the world today. Sean Black and I decided let's talk about the sports aspect of it. Not like what's going on in the sports too much, but the effect of the COVID-19, racism, division, players being tested or being tested. And there's so much going on, you can't forget about sports too much. So, Sean Black, of course, the big signing that you heard, that the whole world, someone is $500 million richer. And I wish he was my sugar daddy. He could adopt me anytime he wants. I'm talking Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, MVP of Super Bowl of last year, or this year, I should say, Patrick Mahomes. Do you think or feel that he's worth over half of $1 billion over the 10-year course?
I feel no single player is worth $500 million in any sport. But if you're going to go based on the pay scale of what's going on in the NFL and any other sport, based on what Patrick Mahomes has done, what he's meant to that franchise in the 3 years that he's been a starter, two AFC championship games out of 3 years, a Super Bowl MVP, a league MVP, there's a lot to be there's a lot to unpack. You figure.
But like I told you yesterday, let's God forbid something happens to him within 5 years. But these long contracts, they normally don't last long for him.
Yeah.
Because like you told me yesterday, football players, 99% you get hurt.
Yes. And year to year, the only thing that's guaranteed in an NFL contract is the signing bonus and what you've made for that year. You can get cut, and the rest of that money isn't guaranteed. So the way that this is, from what I've looked at as far as how this contract is supposed to go through over the next few years, he still had 2 years left on his contract. So in essence, it was an extension added to the 2 years that he had left. So with incentives, it's not just $450 million. The total would make it $503 million if he hits those incentive kickers. $140 million is guaranteed, and then you also have the money that he would get. So what he would make, there's times where you could pull away a certain amount of money, figuring it's $40 million a year for the life of the contract. He's not going to get $40 million per season. That's not the way that the NFL contract is.
No. The problem with those type of contracts overall, like you said, no one deserves that type of money. It's insane, but, it is what it is. It's a pressure. But like I asked you yesterday, does that mean he is, the locker room the captain? Is he the key player? Can he handle that type of pressure? But all that money, if I'm going to pay you all that money, I expect something in return. Wins. Not just wins. Championships overall. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he is, in essence, the face of the franchise for the next decade. They are, in essence, right now looking for him to be the next dynasty. As far as we've seen the 20 years that the Patriots have done with Tom Brady and the rest of that franchise and the 9 Super Bowl berths and 6 rings and all of the other stuff that have come out of that. They're looking for that. If they get anything less than that, if they don't get at least 3 rings, 4 rings, or whatever, then they're going to look at this as somebody that was really overpaid and it sets the market. So even more importantly, what this does is not just – let's just put to the side what's happening with Kansas City. We don't even look at that right now. We're going to look at what the landscape is in the immediate future right now. You have 2 very young quarterbacks that are in this league that are looking to get paid. Both African-American quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, franchise-caliber quarterbacks. You're looking at the Houston Texans and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
You've got him,
and then you also have Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't think he's working, Dak, but go ahead.
Yes, Dak has been franchised. He's going to get $37 million this year, or $35 million this year. He's looking for a long-term deal, not long-term like 10, 12 years, but he's looking at the salary, the yearly amount that was set at $40 million or so. Watson is looking for a franchise-caliber contract long-term, et cetera, et cetera. But what you've done is you've gotten rid of DeAndre Hopkins, his number one wide receiver. Now you're looking at why he's going to be looking at why is he going to stay in Houston, knowing that the Houston Texans are going to try and sign this guy to a long-term deal. So that sets the market for what's going to happen going forward.
Okay. We have Phil the Phil Matt Fisher. Phil, before we go to our next topic, do you think the contract of Phil Patrick Mahomes getting paid $500 million worth it or – good luck to him.
Like Sean Black just said, no player is worth that amount of money. No player. And don't get me wrong, he's a good quarterback. We've seen the accomplishments, but that is a lot of money to be given out. No player in any sport is worth that kind of money.
Well, it sounds like I agree, but it sounds like, you know, for us civilized people, we sound like a bunch of haters, you know. Should we be happy that a black man, like Sean Black says, getting all that type of money?
I mean, just when you put it to that context, I'm just looking at him as a player, not with the skin color is. Just as a player, no player is worth that amount of money. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
But, you know, someone always out there have to put in a race card because it would not be society today if we don't use a race card in any factor.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying overall, I mean, like I said, he's proven to be a great player. He's got a ring. He's had 2 AFC championship appearances. But, you know, it's like Sean Black said, now you have to wait and see if this is going to be, you know, boom or bust for him.
Okay, now for next question, guys. I know the answer, but it may be a little bit hard to answer this question because I know you have to speak from your gut, not from your heart. I'll start with Phil first. So far, with Major League Baseball, we have—I don't have the accurate numbers—over 42 players tested positive for COVID-19. In the NBA, over 16 players. In the NFL, all 32 teams have one or more players affected with COVID. NHL, over 35 players. And, of course, our favorite, WWE, I don't want to talk about that too much right now, Sean Black, have over 30 wrestlers and talent with tested positive with COVID. Yes, we know COVID's not going away no time soon. We accomplished that on Monday. But Phil and Sean Black, do you feel with everything that's happening right now, do the sports world need to take a break, or should we continue in July when baseball and basketball make their quote-unquote comeback?
My answer is like one of those.
Phil, I know how you feel, Phil. Speak from your gut, you know, not from your heart.
I'm speaking. All right. It's a yes or no thing because, you know, yes, we want to see live sports, but at the same time, you know, maybe things should just stay the way they are. Because, you know, we're hearing that more players are being tested and they're getting this thing which is mind-boggling, which we would think all these teams would have taken every safe precaution. I mean,
I believe they do. I believe they do to a certain degree because, by the same time, this is like Sean said Monday night, this is a disease that's being mutated that we learn more about every day. The minute you learn one thing, something else comes up. So I believe these teams are taking precautions. But because of that, you want to risk a whole team of catching the COVID and knowing that you lose a revenue and everything, but you don't have attendance.
I mean, like I told Sean yesterday,
the advertisement is not all that now, money. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Phil.
And the thing is, you know, with everything going on, you got to look at the locations too, where the NBA, you're in Florida. Florida's cases are spiking off the roof. I mean, you just look at some of these locations that we're talking about, like Arizona. Their cases are spiking off the roof. I mean, it feels like it's just getting worse, and it ain't getting better in some of these states.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Phil. Finish up.
You know, maybe the sports world does need to take a break. I mean, because before you know it, one gets it, then another gets it, and it seems like that's what's going to happen is the whole team is going to get it. That's what it seems like we're heading to.
Okay, Sean?
Yeah, you've heard me say this off air many times, and I'm going to say this on air so that the people can officially hear this. As far as I'm concerned, I know why it's being done, but I firmly am completely against any sports going on at full bore. And the reason why is just what you just stated. We're in a nation right now that has a fourth of the worldwide deaths attributed to COVID-19. We have an administration that continues to fudge up what's going on. They don't know their buttholes from their elbows when it comes to what's going on out there. And a refusal to acknowledge...
I'm sorry, Sean Black. After months and months, over 4 to 5 months, we still can't figure it out.
No.
I won't point that out.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And after we saw what seemed like a dip in cases, everything is going in the wrong direction. You can look at other countries around the world. They have mitigated what's going on with COVID-19 to the fact where they have now opened up a lot of parts of their country, and it's starting to lessen in other places. The United States, it's getting worse. And you're going to tell me in places like Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Arizona, California, a lot of places in the southern regions of the contiguous United States where is a hotbed for all sports, which is college, which is professional sports. You're going to tell me that if we can't get a handle on this disease in regular, normal, everyday life, that we're going to put million-dollar athletes on the line and put them in a bubble like the NBA. They're going to be playing at Disney's Wide World of Sports Complex and put them in a quote-unquote bubble and let them sit there for three weeks or however long it's going to take to finish out this season. Major League Soccer, they already have one team, FC Dallas. When they start up this season, I believe, the July 23rd, FC Dallas isn't even going to play any games for that team because they said about 10 players on the team came down with COVID. There are way too many invariables and intangibles to take into consideration how this is going to happen. And with the NFL, which is like the next big one, you've got the NFL, and then you've also got college football. All of that fall sports heading around COVID and flu season. We don't know what's going to happen around that instance. If one person usually gets the flu, the whole team gets the flu. So So what's going to happen if one person gets COVID and passes it through the rest of the team? The whole team has to forfeit the rest of the season? It doesn't make any sense.
And like I told you guys last Monday night, I'm not to go off the topic about the family in Texas that was having a party and one person coughed, the whole family got a whole family caught the virus.
Yes.
This is similar to this. You know, I mean, you could, like I told Phil, you could do your testing, but what happens if you don't show any symptoms that you carry the coronavirus?
And that's
and
the problem.
And you still pass it out. And that is the most scary part I've been saying for the last few months. You don't know you're carrying it or not.
Think
know,
about this. The president wants to force the rest of the nation in the fall to open up all public schools. When we know that there is still no vaccine or any nationwide testing involved, would you put your kids, you've got two kids, would you put any of your kids in a public school or a private school or any school without any testing involved, without knowing the dangers of what's going to happen?
You know what? I would leave that, the answer is no, but I would leave that full conversation for next week.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say about that.
I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But my point in me bringing that up is if you wouldn't put your kids in a school setting like that, why would you subject athletes into going into sports just for the sake of saying, okay, well, just like we see like with wrestling and we see other particular sports, the mindset is, The country, the world needs something to get their minds off of what's going on. I can understand that premise. But you have to also take into consideration there are way too many things that can happen in this scenario that can absolutely backfire on all of this.
Yeah. Okay, K-Dog, anything like that on before we move on?
Well, with COVID-19, this has shaken the sports world to a core, to its core, because you know, you look at the standstill in sports now. Number one, baseball season, they had to put a pause on that. They had to put a pause on basketball. They had to put a pause on even one of the biggest sport events in the world, the 2020 Olympics, has been canceled.
Yes.
They're not trying to put their athletes. They're not trying to put their athletes at risk because, like you said, Hot Rod, even though people may not show symptoms of it, but who do we know has it? I mean, you don't want the whole team to get infected with this. You don't want anybody else to get infected. That's why, you know, this is the first that we've seen sports at a standstill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just mind-boggling overall, but. Going back to the NFL, back to NFL and racism, Roger Goodell, you know, with everything going on with Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, and, of course, leaning back to Kaepernick, 4 or 5 years ago, Sean Black? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it almost
2016, yes.
Yes. Now he's thinking about Sean's favorite song, Lift Every Voice, as a Black national anthem. Now, I'll start with you, K-Dog. Do you think, with all the controversy, with everything that's going on in this crazy world today, with a Star Spangled Banner, should we add Lift Every Voice to the national anthem as well? Or it will be too much controversy to do this right now?
Well, I don't think they should add the Black national anthem. I'm going to tell you why. Because why all of a sudden now they want to add it? What's going on now? Now everybody seems to be racially sensitive. They should have done this if they wanted to. Why didn't they do it a long time ago? But now all of a sudden with all this going on, now all of a sudden you want to add it? Come on now. Seriously?
Phil, what do you think?
I'll put it to you this way. You know I am all for the national anthem, and that should be the only anthem that should be played. Now, as far as an answer to the question, you know, every action has a reaction. I've already have some white friends that are saying they're done with the NFL because of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. And we're already assuming, who knows if there's even going to be a season or they're going to play a season without fans. And here's the thing, not to sound like a bigot or anything, but what happens, okay, they have fans and this Black Anthem starts playing. You think white, it could happen. God knows if white people will start kneeling when it's playing.
You're saying something because you know what? It could cause some problems, and you're right about that.
Well, you know what? Before Sean answered with a 20-minute answer, that's true, Phil. So if let's say a white player, Tom Brady, took a knee and protested because he don't like the national anthem, is he wrong for doing that? Or does he have his God-given rights?
You know what? You know what he can say? Well, if Kaepernick can do it, so can I. That would
be
my response.
Well, the first thing is, I actually like that thought process that Phil just brought up, in the sense that we would see what would happen nationally as far as that goes. That I don't think would happen, but you never know, because there are a lot of Trump supporters that are in the NFL that a lot of people don't realize. Joey Bosa comes to mind.
Exactly,
he's
Sean,
one of those. He's one of those.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Sean Black. There's always that one that was started.
Of course.
You know, there's always one.
The difference.
Think about it. We had. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. The difference in that argument is the fact that the kneeling, the kneeling of the anthem had nothing to do with patriotism or the anthem. Kneeling in protest of Lift Every Voice and Sing, it would be a completely different narrative. You would be kneel if somebody decided to kneel against that anthem, that would be taken as an affront on the perceived push of what we're seeing now. It is now fashionable everywhere for black recognition. We're seeing it's now fashionable to show positivity towards black people and black movements and Black Lives Matter, where if it was just a couple of years ago, a couple of months ago, you looked at somebody like they were crazy. And the reason why is because if there is no recognition towards the Black Lives Matter movement or anything along those lines, and the inclusion that a lot of people have been looking for, and the recognition of African American issues, you're going to be looked at as racist. You're going to be looked at as, oh, well, here we go again. And the last thing that any business wants, sports related or otherwise, is to have that scarlet letter thrown on them, which is the R word. So I have no problem necessarily with Lift Every Voice.
Of course
you do. I actually had to sing that when I was in junior high school before the assemblies in our auditoriums.
Right. But Sean Black, that was 60 years ago. Give it a break.
My point being is that the reason why it's not familiar in American culture the way that it should be is because it was never given the attention to be brought to that mainstream. I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people that didn't even know there was a black national anthem. And it's going to be politicized no matter what. So you're going to have that backlash.
True.
And you know something?
But
the NFL brought that on themselves. My last point of part, this is, if the NFL, way back when, had accepted what Colin Kaepernick was doing and did not fall and kowtow to what the president said and change the narrative of why the protests were there, we wouldn't be at the point that we're at now, where these things are being highlighted and is bringing more discussion to a lot of people that probably thought that this was something that it wasn't.
True. I agree with that concept a lot, but I'm sorry, hold on. To go back to K-Dog point, which I agree, which I can't believe I agree with K-Dog. That's another crazy part. But besides that, don't force it, you know. Because Adele is doing this to keep our mouths shut, to keep black people happy. If they did this thing years ago, no problem. But the timing, like, really?
Exactly.
Why you want to do it? Because why? You trying to keep our mouth shut? No, they should have done that during the cabinet, way before cabinet. I would have no problem with it. And now, to Phil's point, now you're going to force this upon us. Now you're going to have that one white person, white nationalist from South Carolina or whatever, saying, no, 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 I'm not going to be forced. I don't have to listen to this song. If black people don't want to listen to the national anthem, why do I need to listen to their anthem? I could stay in the locker room or take a knee. And in the end, is it God-given right? I'm like, I understand the two songs are completely different. But, you know, some people don't know their history or don't want to know their history.
Yeah. But remember, this is only being done for the first week of the season. This isn't being done every week of the season. That would be the ultimate enforcing it down somebody's throat, per se.
Well, trust me, Sean Black, social media, people still went crazy.
Of course.
People was hashtagging NFL, boycott NFL. They went berserk. The left, the right, whatever you want to call it. I like to say mostly white people went crazy. You know, it's hard to say it like that, but it's the truth. But go ahead, Phil.
You know, Kaepernick, you know, he wants to come back and play football, and you know, first maybe there was a glimmer of hope, but then he came out on July 4th calling it a white supremacist holiday, which blew up on the Twitter feed. So now he just set himself, I don't know how many steps back, and if I'm not mistaken, Aubrey Huff of the San Francisco Giants called him out on it.
True. I'm like, this is one little thing. Kaepernick was right for what he said. The timing of it, that's still questionable. Cato, do you agree that Kaepernick, what he said was the right time for him to say it?
Well, for business-wise, true, I could understand where he was coming from when he said it. But, however, if you do want to come back into the NFL, like he said, he did want it to come back. However, what was said was true. However, he has to wait. He should have waited until, you know, you get in. I could be wrong. I could be right.
Sean Black?
Let's also just really be honest about this. I think anybody that really believes that Colin Kaepernick is going to get back into the NFL and play, you got something. You're mistaken. Number one, no player that has gone through what he's gone through and had a collusion case against the owners of the NFL for colluding to keep him out of the league, which, although there's no quote-unquote proof of it, we know now based on the answers that Roger Goodell gave when he said, well, we should have listened to Colin Kaepernick sooner. Those words basically proves the whole idea of why Colin Kaepernick went and did this in the first place. So if he actually believes that he's going to go back into the league and play, and then you hear all of these other coaches, well, we could have signed him, we could have given him a chance, that's a bunch of garbage, because if that was the case, he would have been signed a long time ago. He can still play. He's still got a lively arm. He's still very fast, still mobile in the pocket. He's not lost any of his skill. The issue is, do you want the drama that is going to be associated with Colin Kaepernick being with your team? And if that's what you want or you don't want, that's something that you're going to have to reconcile with your fan base and, more importantly, to the people that are within the franchise, within ownership, that are going to try to pay this person and deal with that afterwards.
Okay, now on to our last topic. We have the Washington Redskins, the Warriors, the Braves, the Indians, the Chiefs, the Blackhawks. Sean Black, there have been many talks for many years. I know you brought this many times about the Washington Redskins, about changing his name. Now, due to the movement that's happening with everything that's going on, Snyder, whatever his name is taking into consideration of changing his name, changing the Redskins' name. Between that and the rest of the names I mentioned, do you think and why should the name should be changed on the Redskins, the Braves, the Indians, the Blackhawks, of everything?
First and foremost, I'll put it in this text. Think of the name of any city that has a franchise, and then you say, let's say, for instance, the New York, fill in the blank, and you put in the most derogatory racist slur. Phil, You know, I know you being Jewish, you know a ton of words that are anti-Semitic. You fill in an anti-Semitic name, you would be up in arms.
Just like the way I am about the Sean Jackson's mouth.
Exactly. That's something else. But you put in a racial slur on Asians or a racial slur with blacks, and then you put a team name next to it and say, this is the New York fill-in-the-blank. That is basically what this whole thing is. Jack Kent Cook back in 1992 when Washington was in the Super Bowl, this was starting to be a big discussion around that time where he came up with every excuse in the book of where they came up with this name to pin on Washington's team. And we know the reason why, where it came from. And every owner, player that's been with that ever since, well, I shouldn't say player, but ownership, has come up with the excuse to defend it. It is a racist, negative slur. And if one Native American is offended by it, it definitely needs to be changed. Same with the Atlanta Braves. Were the Boston Braves, the Seminoles, and all of those teams that have names that disparage Native Americans. If they are vocal about being offended by this name, there is no reason to continue to keep it there unless you just want to make money off of the name, period.
And if I'm not mistaken, Boston, if I'm not mistaken, is a very racist town. I mean, was it Tory Hunter that came out public with it that he was being called the N-word?
They were playing it
in Fenway Park.
Yes.
And the crazy part about it is when he talked about that, the ownership of the Boston Red Sox actually admitted that they have a racist history in that city. They came out on Twitter and said that we agree with what he said and we have to do better. That should tell you something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do know the Chicago Blackhawks are standing pat with the name of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around for – and this is an original six hockey team. This franchise has been – is almost 100 years old as it is.
Yes.
And I know this thing with the Redskins, this has been going on with the name for like you said, I don't know how many years, even before all of this started. And now the Cleveland Indians, they've been in baseball for how many years? And now all of a sudden they're caving in, you know, rethinking everything.
That name and that mascot needed to go a long time ago. Chief Wahoo, I think, is the name of the
mascot
with the big red face and the grinning teeth and all of that.
Yeah.
Those are racial caricatures of a native people that needs to go and needs to change.
All right, go ahead, K-Dog.
No, I said it was going on for years. I was just adding to what Sean said.
And so, with that said, Sean gave me a couple of names that the wrestlers could change their name to.
Yes. One of them, which has been gaining a lot of momentum, are the Washington Red Tails, which was named for an African-American regiment that fought in World War I. And that's something that could be brought up. The other name that I've heard that sounds could slot in would be the Washington Monuments. That makes perfect sense also based on the city that they're in.
Yeah,
exactly.
So either one of those two names is perfect as far as I'm concerned. That definitely works.
And yet they don't even play in D.C. They play in Maryland.
Yeah, they play in
Round
John, Maryland. Exactly.
Yeah. But I was finding it weird, like, now, because of the movement, all this is being discussed about.
It's all
like,
about timing.
Even though we discussed many times before, the timing. So is the timing good or is the timing bad, or we need to do better? I mean, I'm sure this is only the beginning. There's a lot more work to be done.
Yeah. But this is stuff that should have been done years ago and never got the momentum it could get because the society was not in a place of leverage, of power to get things done. If you think about it, Washington, only reason why this is starting is because FedEx, who owns 20% of the Washington franchise and has the naming rights on the stadium, decided we need to change. And the reason why that actually worked, because even more sponsorship decided, if you don't change this name, we're backing out of this. Nike has
So once
has
again, it comes down to money.
And you've heard
it
me say this a million times. The only way that anything changes is if you kick somebody in the wallet. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know what, Sean Black, we need to change the name. You know what, Hot Rod, you're right. Let's change the name. No, it comes to me to threaten you. I'm not going to pay you if you don't change the name. What? Huh? It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's like the right thing to do, but the wrong way to do it.
Well, the business world knows that the last thing that they need is to have anything take from their bottom line. And even if it's a real shallow reasoning behind it, the companies know that they don't want to be associated with that. And if that's the impetus for change, then I'm all for it. We're not going to sit here and cast any aspersions and think that these companies are all high and mighty and really want anything done, because if they did, they would have changed this on their own years ago. So let's not kid anyone about that.
And to K-Dog now, I say this many times, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time on the court. But outside the court, LeBron James is the greatest of all time off the court. Now, when we hear the comparison of Jordan and LeBron, why do you think I said that LeBron is greatest on the court, outside the court, and Jordan is greatest on the court?
Because
what do you
know
think
what
I
it,
say that for?
You know what it is with LeBron James. LeBron James is not afraid to speak. That's the whole thing. Michael Jordan, on the other hand, he was all about basketball. And he even said this, as a matter of fact, I always used to talk about this. I used to think about this. I'm like, man, how come, you know, Michael Jordan never spoke about anything, but yet LeBron is a different person. LeBron will speak up against injustices. He'll speak up against the racism. He'll speak up against it. And that's what makes LeBron a better role model, because he doesn't bite his tongue for nothing. He makes moves about it too.
You got also remember, I mean, we're talking about two players that the you can't compare the eras that they were playing in too as well. I mean, Jordan did basically all his talking on the court. And as a Knicks fan, I can tell you he put the dagger in our hearts God knows how many times. When LeBron came in, it was like a changing of the times. The game was starting to change as it is.
Exactly. Right?
We know that, guys. We know that. But these youngsters or the critics, they don't know that. Of course.
Exactly. It was a whole different era of ball. That I could tell you.
But it's like comparing wrestling. Compare Hulk Hogan wrestling.
And I could
to today wrestling. Yeah, go ahead, Sean Black.
Yeah, it's one of those things that as we go forward, we know that certain people, if they're not able to elocute and talk about the way that they want to articulate their point, then they should. We're not going to say that, you know, just because you have money and you're black that you should say something. If you don't feel that that's how you are and want to live your life, there's nothing wrong with that. The issue is most people looked at Michael Jordan being in the position that he was in, and he never really opened up on, at least publicly, about a lot of things that the African-American community looked at, whereas, as we just talked about with LeBron, his activism is one of the reasons why he is so coveted in this world when it comes to issues that deal with African-American, whether it be money, whether it be racism, whether it be ownership, any of those pertinent things, education. Remember, he's opened up a school to help kids out in Akron, Ohio, so that they can be able to get a head start in getting into college?
Has Jordan done any of that? Done any of that besides his prison? Has Jordan done anything of that to your knowledge? I'm not saying that he didn't do anything good, but it seemed like in the public eye, DeVon did a lot more. But Jordan's more rich, right? He's a billionaire. He's the reason why kids got killed and got robbed in the streets for his sneakers. I'm not saying that he did it himself.
Yeah.
But, in the lifestyle, Jordan was a hot thing. Jordan's sneakers still a hot thing. People are selling $400 online, sleeping outside at the stores. And we always make fun of them, like, why are you wasting your life staying outside in front of the store for hours overnight to buy a pair of Jordan sneakers?
Do you remember after the first partial opening of the nation happened, what were we talking about African Americans doing? What were they doing waiting online to get? Jordans.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So his name has a reputation for itself. Always have, always will. The issue is, for a lot of people, is that why didn't he speak up when he had the chance? Maybe that's what he didn't feel like doing. And the thing that always got him in trouble, quote-unquote, was that quote that he made years ago that Republicans buy sneakers also. And that's always come back to really kick him. Whereas LeBron and others have had the wherewithal to open up their mouths and speak on the issues that Michael Jordan, we know Jordan has an opinion on these things. He just never really made them public. That's the difference.
If he would say what's on his mind, it could come back to, come back to kick him in the butt. You know how people are, death threats, this and that, it may have taken him off his game.
True. And you know what? We may never know. But Jordan always kept it to himself until The Last Dance, which he made millions of dollars from it. But,
of course.
Yeah.
That's Jordan. It's like, you know what? It is what it is with Jordan. That's it, you know? Not everybody could be a LeBron. Not everybody could be like a Jordan. Not everyone could be like the Hot Rod. Great as me. Well,
no, of course.
There it is.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your input on tonight's fourth edition. It's very rough out there, with everything that's going on. It's like, what's next in August, We're thinking about August already, like what the madness that's going to happen then.
What do we think about the rest of July?
Let's get through the rest of this month.
Well, I can say to everybody is that, guys, please be safe out there. Please be safe. That's it.
You guys as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, be safe, everybody.
Of course, we will do the show hopefully on Monday night, and of course, we will open up about the same thing over again. People to wear masks, you need to wash your hands, you need to be careful. I have a minute left. It just dawns on me, like every time you hear Dr. Fauci on television telling the public over and over and over again
exactly
the same scenarios, and people still don't get it.
Serious. People still want to party because, oh, it's summer. Why should I stay home? Yes, you can. But, however, please be safe. They don't want you going into crowds. They don't want you doing all of this. Just be safe.
And unfortunately, it's not working. And I think Brother B alluded it to a couple of weeks ago when he said people want to go out. People are getting pissed off because, they don't want to stay at home.
I mean,
there's
nobody
wrong with that.
If you want to take a walk outside, you could do that, but just be safe.
Sean,
I'll put it to you this way. People that should not be out in this should not be out in it. And most of the time, those are the people that are not listening.
Exactly.
Sean Black?
Yeah. It's hard for people that are cooped up at home all the time when they finally get a chance to go outside. I what's going to happen, and I see this happening, and I've said this before, is at some point Dr. Fauci is going to end up losing his job over this because he's not in lockstep with the president. The president is trying to bury the lead, bury the whole story. Dr. Fauci is trying to get everybody on the same page. And
All right, folks, as we've seen, it doesn't work.
I'm
sorry, we will continue this on Monday night. Thank you all for the show, and have a good night, y'all. Take care.
And stay safe. Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.